TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here. You know, I was talking briefly about hunger and desperation. You know, so many times we do things to avoid being in desert experiences. But the truth is, until you're in a desert experience, you're not quite often thirsty because you always have as much water as you need. Or if you don't go through a time of lack, then you don't have a time of hunger. And you think about even the seasons. I mean, God created everything. And he created the seasons. He created, there's what, winter? And then after the freezing cold winter and everything's dying off and all the leaves are falling and all the insects are being killed if a good freeze comes in there, you know, and everything's kind of getting put. And then all of a sudden it just begins, spring hits. And then spring comes. And then all of a sudden what seems so desolate and seems so tough and it seems so, it's just miserable. You got to guard yourself from this because you'll just freeze to death. And people sometimes get colds and flus and the flu season. And all of a sudden this beautiful sun's out. The same sun that was shining in your winter is now shining in your spring. And this whole new season begins to happen. But, and springs can be so good, sometimes we can forget we just came out of a winter. You know, where things were dying off and things were just coming to an, you know, end of themselves. And it looked like it was over, but all of a sudden when spring hits, suddenly a new season begins and it's in the same year of your life. And then things that looked dead and gone start springing forth from the soil and you start seeing stems and then you see leaves and then you see the wheat and you see new things coming forth. But you can't really appreciate if it's always spring. Human nature is you will take it for granted. If it's always spring, if it's always a sunny sky, you want to appreciate a sunny sky.
Right.
And God's designed us that way. And so even the seasons tell on God's design for us. And that in our lives, we have personal winters. But then we appreciate the springs when they come. And you begin to pray for a spring. Lord, have something spring forth in my life. Lord, shine a new light. Give me a new viewpoint of what's taking place. And then spring happens and all this foliage and all this wonderful flowers and colors and all these different things are taking place. And people start doing spring cleaning and people start walking through parks and they go, they're just getting excited. They're getting really pumped up for what the next season that's about to come. And this, the spring is the season this pretty much you can just, you don't have to necessarily wear a lot of clothes at that point because it's just the perfect climate. It's just like the perfectness. Mm-hmm. You went from great cold, you know, just surviving type coldness to all of a sudden now it's just, wow, it's just wonderful. But then there's another season coming. That's not going to last forever. You know, then that's going to stop and all of a sudden you got summer coming. There's summer is something you have to manage as well, like you have to manage winter, depending on where you are. And the summers are hot. You know, summers you need shade. And things grow and things happen, but you got to be really strategic in summers. You can't just go out there and expose yourself to the elements because you can suffer greatly from that. But it is, it's not a winter, it's a summer. And then, but you're actually, you know, involved in so many things in the summertime because there's kind of like no boundaries. You still can do it as long as you appropriately respond to it. And that's the way it is in God. I mean, literally in God that, you know, you'll go through a dry time, you'll go through a winter time. And if you'll understand that and not get carried away in your winter, you'll be preparing for the spring that's about to come. And you won't be so carried away when God brings a spring in your life because you know after spring comes summer. And then when all of this is coming to a head, I mean, all of the produce and the fruit and the flowers and all this stuff, you realize the stuff that you eat in the produce aisles grew during that time. Understand this, that all of a sudden when you start looking at fall and all the leaves that were once green start turning all kinds of colors and things that looked so exciting now for a moment had an interesting, beautiful look to them, but then they just started falling off. Things just start falling off in your life. And this is what Jesus said. He said, my Father is the gardener, My father, I am the vine, you are the branches, and my father is the gardener. That the father cuts off every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, but he prunes the ones who do. In other words, even though you love God and you're walking with God, you're going to have seasons in your life. And don't get carried away in any season. Realize you got to really prepare and understand that seasons will come and seasons will go. God's designed it that way. Don't get too down in the down season and don't get so up in up season that you're shocked that summer comes. Understand that that's you appreciate winter when you've been through a hot summer. Mm-hmm. And you appreciate summer when you've been through a cold winter. And fall and spring is just the joy between the two.
Yeah.
And you learn how to begin to enjoy those things. And when things start falling off and God starts pruning you, and you're going into the fall and you see the leaves that were so beautiful, but now they're gone and it's getting barren. Don't panic. Understand it's just a season. You will appreciate spring. Just brace yourself for winter. Get ready. Store up. Now be ready and understand seasons comes and seasons goes. But God has designed things that way. So if you've been going through a dry time in your life and you're wondering, what's wrong with me? If you're going through a time that things just kind of fell off, things that you used to do naturally, all of a sudden now you've been pruned. You've been cut back. There are things that have fallen off. Listen, it's just a season. It's just a season. God's loved you while you were yet a sinner, so you know he's proud of you and loves you as you've been walking with him. Don't worry about what men think of you. Understand God loves you and singing over you, and he's got a plan for your life. Realize that there's going to be new growth come in your life, because when you prune something back, when you let things go, when you let a seed die, and it has to die first before it will produce, you'll produce much more than you were producing before, and it'll be new growth, a new wind blowing in your life. So I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today. I don't know what season you're in. I talked about natural seasons, but they don't go along with the spiritual seasons, because sometimes you can be going through your own personal winter while somebody else is in their spring, and they're bragging about their spring. They're talking about how good things are in their life. But you're just trying to hold on and survive the cold experience and your emotions and things that are going on. Relax. It'll soon be spring for you. And you can look at the one who was looking at you that was in their spring and say, it's not that hot. It's only summer. I just want to encourage you today. God's designed seasons. He's designed it where if we're not liking the fresh water he's given us, he doesn't take the water away. He just takes us on a long journey of dry places and back to the very same water again. Mm. And we finally say, what we could have said in the beginning, this tastes good, God. Mm. This is some good stuff. When you think about it, it makes me think about Romans. You know, Romans chapter 12, when he talks about Romans chapter 12, he's talking to the church. And he says very specifically in Romans chapter 12, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What that really means is this. It means then when he brings you back to his will, which you first saw in the beginning and you couldn't relate to, you go, this is good. This I think I'm good. Just going to offer my body as a living sacrifice. What was I thinking? Here I am, God. I'm yours. I will lay down my life. I will deny myself. I will pick up my cross and I'll follow you. And I'll no longer define myself. I'll no longer define myself by what other people think of me. I will no longer define myself by the seasons I'm in. I'm going to define myself by what you think of me. And your thoughts towards me are good. And your plans for me are awesome. Plans to bless me and prosper me. Be encouraged in your season. Don't be too high in your spring. Don't be too low in your summer. And hold on if you're in your winter, because spring is coming. You're listening to VFN Radio.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
December 25th is a holy day, deeply spiritual for many of us. And the Christmas season is an excellent time to remember the historical facts about Jesus Christ. Here's writer and speaker Sean McDowell.
Whether or not Jesus lived, there are very few, if any, legitimate scholars who will doubt that. Do you know within 150 years of the life of Jesus, we have 42 sources that mention him, 9 secular sources. Now, Tiberius Caesar, who's the most powerful man humanly speaking, or the Caesar during that time, there's 10. So there's 4 times as many for the historical Jesus as any other ancient figure. Now, if you put this in perspective, Jesus had no money. He had no political power. He didn't write any books. And we have this wealth of documentation saying the historical Jesus lived.
To learn more about Jesus Christ, stop by focusonthefamily.com/faith.
There is nothing, nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this,
right,
you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time, at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
Silent night, holy night.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Oh my goodness. You know, sometimes you feel, guys, I don't know if you know, it's ever happened to you, but sometimes you feel, or maybe if you're listening today, like you're all alone, or maybe you're going through something, and you're tempted to think like, oh my goodness, God, you know, do you know where I ameth right now? You know what I'm saying? You know what's going on? You know, there's 6+ billion people on the face of the earth, and who am I? Are you mindful of me? And the truth is that God knows exactly where we are at. Sometimes we may not know where we're at, but God knows exactly where we are.
So if he asks you where you're at, it's a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
Don't tell him an untruth, right? Adam, where are you? Yeah. I'm not over here behind the bush with a fig leaf on me.
Exactly.
Right? All right. The only two human beings in the face here. Right. No, it's not me. That was somebody else you saw over there. Yeah. Eve did get a short haircut. I'm sorry. Go ahead. So
true, though.
Yeah.
So God knows where we're at. And, you know, we use GPS today, you know, global positioning system on our phones, you know, and it tells us where we're at and it tells us for directions how to get there. But, you know,
supposedly,
yeah. But, you know, God has long had a God's positioning system, you know, mm-hmm. way before any kind of GPS.
Right.
And the word tells us that the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him and those whose hope is in his unfailing love. You know, God's eyes are on everyone. So, you know, Saturday when I wasn't falling in Central Park on my bike, my wife and I took a break from riding. We wanted to go get a bite to eat, right? So we go to this place. We wanted to go to this place called Shake Shack, which is another conversation. But my goodness, you have to think.
Did they card you?
You gotta. It's a burger place. But you gotta wonder. I mean, how good could a burger taste? I mean, it's a burger, right?
Well, the
burger,
we had in Manhattan was very good.
That was very good. Times Square, Roxy, got to go there. It's a very good place. But let me tell you, this burger was very good. So Teresa wanted to go, and so I said, "All right, let's go." But there happened to be several of them in the city, so we got directions from somebody who had a closer one. Of course, we wanted the closer one, because I got to tell you that these bikes, by the way, these bikes, these seats are not comfortable.
At our age, no bicycle seat's comfortable.
I need a seat with a pillow, okay?
Because, oh, my goodness.
This is not good. So as a short route is the best route. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and take the short route.
No pun intended. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So we wind up going to this one on closer to the park, and we're standing in this long line. I mean, the line to get into this burger place is wrapped around the restaurant outside. So we're standing in front of this lady. We're talking about GPS, God's positioning system, right? And Teresa starts this conversation with a young lady who's right in front of us. And she asks us, hey, you know, have you been to this place before? And the lady turns around and says, actually, no, I haven't. I'm visiting, and I heard about the Shake Shack, so I wanted to come to try these burgers. So Teresa says, oh, my goodness, I did too. You know, we wanted to eat these burgers. And so we strike up this conversation, and we're talking with her as this long line is progressively allowing us to go into the building, right? Mm-hmm. And somehow she pulls out her cell phone, and I notice that she has the Bible on her iPhone. So I go, oh, that's so cool. You have the Bible on the iPhone. I said, are you a Christian? And she says, actually, yes, I'm a Christian. I just gave my life to God 2 days ago.
Praise God.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Like, oh, my goodness. She's like, oh, we're Christians too. And she's like, oh, this is amazing.
What's her name?
Her name is Amy.
Well, welcome, Amy, to the family of God. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Awesome.
This is so cool. Amy is from, we find out, is from South Korea.
Hey.
Right? She's from South Korea.
Uh-huh.
And on her journey to the U.S., she first went to California. And then from California, she flew all the way to New Jersey. And she has a relative. Her aunt is a believer, loves Jesus Christ, and led her to the Lord. And then we kind of meet there in the Shake Shack. So we're talking, and she's like, oh, this is so great. I tell her about VFN Radio. She downloads it, you know, right? She goes, I want to listen to VFN Radio. So, you know, we're just having this amazing time, and we wind up getting lunch, and we wind up sitting down and talking with Amy. It's just a stranger we just met, like, a few minutes ago, but she wasn't a stranger anymore, and we're just sharing life and talking about God and her journey and, you know, what's happening. Well, would you believe? And later that night, you know, we had our lunch and we spoke and I had an amazing time and recognized, oh, my goodness, this is God. And she texts Teresa later on that night and says, I'm listening to VFN Radio and it is amazing. I want to share this with my friends in Korea.
So she's going to She's going to go back to South Korea. She's visiting America right now.
She's visiting America. She's only been here for 2 weeks. She has 2 more weeks to be here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
She said, so they kept talking, and she joined us yesterday at our fellowship. Her brought her with the church gathers brought her, and she was just so encouraged by just the church and just encouraged by the message. Totally, totally amazing. We had a chance to pray for Amy, pray for South Koreans and North Korea. She told us that North Korea needs a lot of prayer. She said there's Christians there that are being persecuted.
Yes. They're actually being killed.
Yes.
For saying that that they're being killed for their faith.
Yeah. And so it was.
Well, I want to say welcome, Amy, to the VFN radio audience. We're excited about it. As a matter of fact, Amy, let me tell you something. There was a sister in the Lord. Her name's Miriam. Her name is Miriam. She lives in America, in around Texas now, I believe. Mm-hmm. And the Lord showed us sometime about that he was going to be broadcasting what we're. The message that God has given us into Korea.
Yeah.
And just recently, a lot of Americans who fought in the Korean War who are coming to the end of their days, we had a chance to be able to pay to have them flown to South Korea. And the South Koreans wanted them to come there so they can honor them who fought for their freedom and what was going on. Of course, South Korea is a very happening, profitable, land mm-hmm. now. And they just totally just honored the soldiers. You know, they're in their late 80s and 90s, yeah. and I think they call them the Freedom Flights or something there. Mm. And they put them at the nicest hotels and all that. And it's just how God's really connecting our hearts to South Korea. And we're praying for you because we're aware of what's going on in the North Korea and how the freedom that you guys have, you know, the enemy would like to take that. But, you know, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So know that we're standing with you. And now we are standing with South Korea on VFN Radio and VFN TV.
Yeah. So, so amazing. Her aunt was just so encouraged when she, you know, brought her over to, you know, and dropped her off. And it was just amazing. And Amy says, she says, listen, I think what God is saying is that, you know, I just gave my life to Jesus 2 days ago. And he's just confirming by allowing us to meet that he's just so real.
Oh, yeah.
And she left yesterday with some discipleship books and she left with a journal.
Oh, so wow. Cool.
And so, I mean, she wants to come back and just fellowship. But he's going to tell you, let me tell you, God has a plan for you. You're not alone. You know, you're. God knows exactly where you are at, mm-hmm. and he wants to tell you, just like Amy, he loves you, has a plan for your life, and don't be discouraged. Have hope, trust in the Lord, because he knows exactly where you're at.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about it's amazing how many. You would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God. Mm. And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, you know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. If you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. You know, I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, you know, Paul says of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Don't forget, you can carry us with you everywhere you go with our app. You can go to vfntv.com and download our app. We have it for all the different devices that are out there. And you want to be encouraged. you know, turn on, you want to change your workplace. You want to change the atmosphere of your home. Turn on VFN radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just let it go. Just let it go and just begin to watch things change with your children, watch things change in your life and with your marriage and your business and your workplace. And I'm telling you that the truth sets you free.
That's
and
right.
It sets your business free. And it's just a conversation.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, the word says that many are the plans. Many are the plans in a man's heart. But it's the Lord that directs his steps. You know, it's not just important to have a plan, but more importantly, God's plan, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can come up with a plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of man's plans that revolve around men, you know, they're without regard to God. They ultimately end up with confusion, a scattering, and a dismantling. You know what I'm saying? When you start getting into your own ways, your own stuff, is like, mm-hmm. this started out good, but it's just like it's all unraveling. Mm-hmm. I can't keep it together.
Right.
So there's an increased importance in seeking God's will when making plans. Right? It's like, okay, God, what is your will? And so often I see, and maybe you guys, you know, see this as well, but so often I see amongst the church that so many people are focused on getting God to bless their plans as opposed to just doing what God's plans are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like you're spending all this time to get God to bless what you want to do
mm-hmm.
instead of asking God the question, God, what are your plans?
Exactly.
What do you want to happen? What is your will? And you think of the scheme of things, and you think at life, like, who are we? Think about this. We're like, I'm praying, God, do this and do that, because I got plans. I want to do this, and God got plans. And it's like an ant trying to give direction to a human. You know what I mean? Can you tell me what to do? Can you, like, you're not even on the charts. Wouldn't it be wiser to say, you know, God, since you hold all things together, mm-hmm. since, you know, God, me being born wasn't even part of my plan. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Since you're the one that knit me in my mother's womb, and the way I walk and talk and breathe and look and act and everything about my being is because of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, God, maybe since you know yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time, and maybe God, because Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know, God knows, the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans mm-hmm. to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you a hope in the future. Maybe I should not be trying to get you to bless my plans, but just maybe I should ask God, what are your plans, God? What do you want to do?
All right.
And I think we think that would be a really good approach, because the truth of the matter is that just because a goal was completed and you did something doesn't necessarily mean that God was in it.
Right.
And a lot of times we can attempt things in our flesh and our own understanding and our own ideas and try to put a stamp that, oh, God did that. And God's like, I didn't do that. I didn't tell mm-hmm. you. Just because you finished something doesn't mean that God told you to do it.
Yeah.
Think about at in the last days, at the end, you know, we'll see the Lord, everything that's not of God, every hood way, every wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burnt up. It's like, mm-hmm. I didn't tell you to do any of that. Go ahead and put that on the torch. Now, this one thing I told you to do that you thought was insignificant. Now, that is a blessing for that right there. All that other stuff, go ahead and just throw all of that on the pile there.
Right, exactly.
What are you going to do with that? Is there a special room? Yeah, it's called the incinerator. Let's go ahead and incinerate. We're going to take care of that. Now, let's deal with this thing. And I think about in Genesis 11:3, and this is what they said. They said, they, this is what the people at the time said, that inhabit the earth. They said to each other, not God now, they said to each other, mm-hmm. come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not, listen, and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth.
Mm.
We're talking about not plans that start in the heart of God, you know, plans that start in the heart of God versus plans that start in the heads of men. So they thought to themselves and they said, let's gather, let's get these bricks, let's get this mortar, let's get this tar, let's build for us, a city with a tower. I'm saying that reaches to the heavens. We've got vision. It's gonna be the tallest skyscraper in the skyline.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna build this city, we're gonna build this place so that we will make a name for ourselves. And two things, and we will not be scattered over the face of the whole earth.
Wow.
I mean, think about self-preservation and pride. Like this, all, let me tell you something. All plans that start in pride and self-preservation are doomed to fail.
That's all right.
I mean, you can save yourself a bunch of heartache, pain, crying, belly aching, repenting. You can save all of that. If you answer two questions, I'm taking notes of myself here, by the way. I hope somebody's writing. I need to get this. This is good. This is not in my notes, right? Is that if anything that starts in pride, right,
mm-hmm.
it has to do with exalting or self-preservation, let me tell you something. That's going to come crashing down. And these people rallied and organized. They rallied and organized, making a name for themselves. How many people today are ambitious, you know, to glorify themselves instead of living a life that glorifies God?
Right.
Now, we were made to reflect God's glory. You know, when God touches us and there's a grace on our lives where things are happening and your life is just glorifying and glowing, it's not so that we can attract people to us and say, wow, look how great I am. Look how smart I am. It's to say, oh, no. We're just like the moon. The moon has no light of itself. It just reflects the light, the glory of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
We reflect and say, no. This is God. This is God blessing me. And when God's blessing me, this just points to how awesome and amazing the Lord is.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, it was about building a city and a tower to show their confidence in themselves, a greatness, a beauty, and a majesty that was separate from God.
Mm.
I think about Abraham, when Abraham said, listen, I refuse, King, for you to give me or bless me with anything. I refuse to be blessed that doesn't come from the hand of God. No, you can't give me nothing.
Right.
I'm going to meet with Melchizedek.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna deal with the king of Salem and I'm gonna give him a tenth. I don't need your spoils. I don't need your stuff. You know what I'm saying? I don't want no blessing that doesn't come from the hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the Abrahams today to say, you know what I'm saying? I don't want no ill-gotten gain.
That's right.
Mm-mm. Everything that I want is from the Lord. But these guys wanted to have a separate glory. They wanted to build something. They wanted to do something. They wanted to build a name for themselves, not a name for God. And they wanted to protect themselves, self-preservation. And you look at it, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, it's so important not to look for success in terms of self-exaltation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about actually in the VFN radio about God's plans, God's ways, God's timing equals success.
That's right.
God's plans, God's ways, you know, and his timing equals success. If you miss any of those three, you're in trouble. You know what I mean? Because it still could be God's way and God's plans. But if you miss the timing of God, it's still not God.
Right.
It's the importance of abiding, the importance of spending time with God, the importance of reading His Word and praying and being in daily and continual prayer. You know, abiding is not something that you just do in the morning when you open your Bible and you're reading God's Word and God speaks to you in your journal and then you don't close up the Bible and close up your journal and say, "Okay, God, I'm off on my day. You stay here at the house here on the couch." No. That morning time that you spend with the Lord is just the beginning of the day. It's the rekindling of where you just left off, where you closed your eyes and said, "God, speak to me tonight." Mm-hmm. Because He's the last thing on your mind. So when you wake up in the morning, spend time with Him, you're not leaving Him in the home, you're not mm-hmm. leaving Him in the office, not leaving Him, you know, on the couch where you put your Bible down. Now you're saying, "I'm continuing to walk with you. I'm abiding with you all day. I'm communing with you. I'm praying with you." And life becomes a continual prayer, becomes a continual conversation. You know, it's amen is the pause until the next sentence as we're driving down. And it's just reflecting and meditating on God, and we're listening to His voice, and
right.
we're with Him every day, mm-hmm. all day long. You know, it's one thing to pray a prayer, but what about living a prayer?
Yeah, exactly.
You're in your continual communion and fellowship with Him. So I think about this tower that they were trying to build at the same day that God speaks to me about this. The Denver Post puts out an article, a segment, a little blurb that says the One World Observatory, which will occupy the towers, the 100th, I guess, floor, the size is more than 1,200 feet over lower Manhattan. One World Trade Center will be the tallest building in the Western Hemisphere at 1,776 feet. Mm. And it's like the tower, the strength, the, you know what I'm saying? Mm. It's like, you know, you stick your head up, pride always stands up, it gets chopped off. You know what I'm saying? It's like, stay low. What's this, you know?
Exactly.
What's the need for that? What's the pounding of, you know, strong and mm-hmm. look at our might and getting glory for ourselves? And I'm thought, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
So everything that begins in pride starts, you know, in just carnal thinking,
mm-hmm.
this is not going to last.
All right.
And you can think about the church at large. I mean, are we more interested in building beautiful Ephesuses, places of architectural beauty?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we more interested in constructing buildings that just maximize the church's effort in the expansion of the kingdom of God? You know what I mean? I'm like, I ain't nothing against buildings. You know what I'm saying? We can use a building for anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Buildings are the church. The church is the people of God. It's when two or three are gathered in His name. God, Jesus is there in the midst of them.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we doing about, you know, what's the purpose behind the construction?
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And it's like, you want to think, when I think about what these guys were doing when they were building the Tower of Babel, right? I think about, oh my goodness, how many Towers of Babel have been created in life and in ministry and all these things that started in people's heads,
mm-hmm.
never, ever, ever was in the heart of God.
All right.
So what happened? God sees that they're constructing this thing in their own strength and said, I'm going to have to go visit these guys.
Right.
You know, I'm going to have to go visit them. Verse 7 says, come, let's go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. You know, actually, let me back up. Verse 5 says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them.
Mm-hmm.
Come, let's go down and confuse their language. You know, and my goodness, sometimes we can't even be successful because they'll think it's all about them. It's like, no, they're going to mess it up.
Right.
And they're all that. Before you know it, they'll create statues for themselves next. Look at this thing we did. God's like, let me help them in their, I guess, foolish pride. Let me just scatter them here. Let me. So what's the next verse? So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel.
Mm.
The very thing that they said they wanted to do was build a city and a tower for themselves so that they will not be scattered is the very thing that God did.
That's right.
He scattered them. Because it's not about the plans that start in our head. We want to be people of God that say, God, what are your plans? And maybe you just realized today that you've been trying and struggling for God to bless what's in your head. That the things that you've attempted to do in your life, the things you've attempted to do in your ministry, the things you've attempted to do in your marriage and your children and your finances and all these different things all really started out just in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And when God didn't answer, when God didn't bless it, maybe you were confused and blame God.
Right.
Well, maybe God didn't want that for you. You know, since our existence on earth wasn't our idea. You know what I'm saying? No one had the idea that I'm gonna come to earth. It was all because God allowed us to. Then maybe we should always be humble enough to say, you know, God, what are your plans? You know, all of God's plans for us are perfect, they're wonderful, they're great. Since He's the one that's created us and knows everything about us and knows yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time.
Right.
Wisdom. And humility would dictate that we say, God, you choose. You choose and turn my heart to what's your heart. God, help me to hate what you hate. Help me to love what you love. And that's really the beginning of the fear of the Lord. Help me to hate what you hate and help me to love what I love. You know, I was talking with somebody last night that they were reading scripture and they were talking about how we cry out for mercy and God, I'm crying out to you and I'm nothing. It's like the psalm that David's writing. I wish I could remember to you. He's like, I'm nothing. I'm dirt, God, and touch me. And it's like, where do we go from that place of humility that I'm nothing? I was just lying in my pool of blood and you said live.
Right.
To all of a sudden, you got plants. You doing something. You got this. He's like, wait. What happened here? What did you just get edumacated somewhere? What happened? Who stepped in? Who cut in on? Who has bewitched you? What has been started in the spirit? Are you now what? Trying to do in the flesh? You were just lying there in your pool of blood and God rescued you. You had nothing going on. You were rejected by men. Your sins and your trials and your stinking thinking got you in all this type of situation.
Right.
And when God rescued you. And all we just says, God, if you get me out of this one, if you get me out. And what happened that we forgot? And all of a sudden, we start taking credit for what God's doing in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, lower still. Lower still. And it's the place where we need to be. You know, Psalms 139, verse 24 says, search me, O God. Because, yeah, you know, your heart, the Bible says, is deceitfully wicked. No man can know it. Your heart's deceitfully wicked. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That may seem like a scary prayer, but it's really not a scary prayer. You know what I'm saying? It's not nothing that we should be like, oh my goodness, I want to pray that. No, we should be like, you know what, God? I'm so tired of making these dumb mistakes. I'm so tired of making these plans that don't work out. That, you know, I'm tired of having all these Ishmaels all over the place.
Right.
There's Ishmael 45. I got a trophy case for Ishmaels. I want you to take for
here. Right,
that's,
right.
That's the first decade of my life. He was the first 10 Ishmaels.
Yeah.
Now I want to show you the second half of the house where I have the other 30 Ishmaels. It's like, are we not tired of all these things that we just try to get God to bless? And there's tragedy all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it better just to say, you know, God, just tell me what's in my heart. I'm going to stop telling you what's in my heart. You tell me what's in my heart so that I can get it right with you. And I ask you for the grace.
Yeah.
Grace is, because, you know, you may be feeling overwhelmed and saying, you know, I don't even know how I got here. What grace is God's unmerited favor on your life. What does that mean? You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. But God touches you. He puts favor on your life for good stuff to happen not only to you but through you. And it's God's supernatural empowerment. It's God's supernatural ability for you to do what you could not even do in your own strength. And when you come to the end of yourself and you realize, man, I can't even save myself. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't even save myself.
That's right.
Jesus had to save me. If you couldn't save yourself, then how could you fix yourself? Or how did you have this plan for this or have your plan for that?
Yeah.
Humility just says, you know, God, I just cry out for your grace from my heart to not to skip in my own beat, but with my heart to beat with your heartbeat. That we'll walk together. I walk with you, not you walk with me. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So what is this stuff now? I know that, you know, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you got him some slap your mama hot sauce. Is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did. Yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, it's not something you actually do.
Well, actually.
What?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I found it in my cupboard the other night. I was like, where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then, I'm not going to buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? It just sounds like, slap your mama. You know? Why do they call it slap your mama? So why not?
Well, there's a southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about
slap
your mama.
Yeah, we'll probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But, you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mama ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. You mean if something good happens, you slapped food. Your mother?
Well, no, food, something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
I never slapped her.
You said, but it's a southern way of doing things.
That's a southern saying. That's
oh, saying.
You do.
Oh.
Saying.
Shoo. Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm thinking that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah, my mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, I said it to obviously. Steve one day we were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Chris's
ribs,
actually.
He's from Detroit Lions.
He's from Detroit. And they don't have, apparently they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does slap your mama taste like?
It's just real hot, spicy, you know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste and...
Not quite that hot.
So it's hot?
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really?
You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of sauce.
Oh, wasabi.
Oh,
wasabi.
Whoa, I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The wasabi.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
That's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out. If you have any problems.
Oh, we don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat.
It's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower. Like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, Second Street, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, We won't talk about car. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah. I bought him both, actually.
You did?
I got him the powder and the sauce.
Well,
it's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, Slap Your Mama. I should have read that. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's this very sweet lady. Very sweet lady.
Oh, holy night. And the stars are brightly shining.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
In sin and error pining till he...
Well, guys, I was reading in God's Word, the Bible, and I just came across something that just my goodness, just gripped me. But you know that, you know, when Abraham and his nephew, they parted ways, and Lot was in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. God was getting ready to destroy that city. And so much so that since a couple of angels down there are saying, you know, Lot, you got to get out of here.
Time to go.
You got to get out of here.
Pack your bags.
And head out of Dodge. So Lot starts talking to his family. He starts talking to the son-in-laws that were pledged to be married to his daughters. And the Word of God says that his son-in-laws thought he was joking. Like, they just laughed at the warning. They just thought he was joking. Mm-hmm. So the next verse of Scripture says that with the coming of the dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry!" Exclamation point. Hurry. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you'll be swept away when the city is punished. And then in verse 16, this is of chapter 19, says, when he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. Mm. And it's like, wow. Let me tell you something. If God's telling you to move, God's telling you to do something, God's telling you to tell somebody something, if God's telling you anything, you want to move
quickly
when God's telling you to move. Mm-hmm. You want to move when God's saying it. I mean, it's like, Lot, dude, two angels are standing in front of you telling you, dude, we're about to wreak havoc up in this place. You know what I'm saying? You got to get out of Dodge. Mm-hmm. And you think about, he says, hurry. Hurry. And my goodness, where's the urgency, right? It's God speaking to respond. And so the angel took his hand, his wife's, his daughter's, just let's go.
Right.
God had mercy. And I'm telling you that God's mercy, we talked about it in the first hour, can't take God's mercy for granted. Mm-mm. You can't just take God's mercy and just throw it away side and just say, okay, let me just contemplate on your mercy. Mm-hmm. When God speaks, there's an urgency to respond to him speaking, and you got to move with God. And you think about if there was any more hesitation, Lot hesitated. And if there's any more hesitation, it could have been all over for them. Mm-hmm. And even as they're fleeing, the angel's saying, flee for your lives. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere on the plane. Right. Flee. You know what I'm saying? Don't just get out of here. Just don't even look back. And Lot's wife, you know, she had something in her heart. You know, she looked back.
Yeah.
And she looked back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your head is never going to accept or understand what God's telling you to your spirit. I mean, we talked about last week where Abraham and Sarah, you know, God spoke to them. God spoke to Abraham, actually. Mm-hmm. And Sarah was figuring in her mind how to bring to pass what God said he was going to do with Abraham.
Exactly.
God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you descendants of, you know, as numerous as the sands on the seashore and as numerous as the stars in the sky. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do this. And because some time went by, I believe it was about 10 years, Sarah thought, well, you know what? I think I guess I need to make this and help God out and bring this thing to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't need any help. I think this was my plan, my idea.
Right.
This is Genesis 16. And so she concocts this idea about Hagar, and all of a sudden they're birthing, you know, plans and children that did not start in the heart of God.
All right.
And we'll talk about this today about, you know, we need to have plans that start in the heart of God, not plans that start in the heads of men.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
Yeah, big difference.
Plans that start in the heart of God must be done with God's heart, not with our head. And I just think about Lot, and I think about, you know, the connection with all of this is saying, dude, God's speaking. God's speaking, you got to respond in your spirit. You can't respond in your head. And if you start to thinking and hesitation is like all that, it's all of that is about, you know, trying to figure it out. And sometimes we have a setting, you know, you come to realize it's probably pride,
mm-hmm.
and it is pride. Sometimes if you're just so used to moving in pride or moving into that area of just everything has to make sense and figure out,
mm-hmm.
you just miss that the whole simple part of humility. It's right. like, you know, Lot had to think about, well, I didn't get here on my own. You know what I'm saying? If you took credit for all of that, then he has to think about it. But if you realize that he got into that area because God just allowed him and pointed him in that area, and you're in that area now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and God blessed it, what are you thinking? Just do. Just listen to what God's saying.
Exactly. That's so good.
Yeah, it's just move and step with God.
Amen.
You know, step with God and don't hesitate because God's speaking. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Goodness, listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to mm-hmm. it, and you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you.
There
it's
you
yours.
Go.
Have yes. it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.